Welcome back to Between Takes with Opal Entertainment. I'm Aiden Driscoll.
And I'm Olivia O'Neill.
And today we are joined once again by our good friends,
We the Least.
Today we're going to take a deep dive into We the Least songwriting process.
We're going to talk about their band name and their performance philosophy.
We're also going to talk about what it means to be a musician, a band, and a person.
So, if that's your jam, sit back and enjoy this week's episode of
Between Takes.
Welcome back, gang.
Thanks for having us.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
For joining us for a slightly headier topic than last time.
Yes. So we're excited.
If you haven't listened to the one we've done with them before, yes. It was a couple episodes back.
It was a good one. Also, if you are in the Nashville area next weekend, they are performing with us, which is going to be a grand old time. Yes. We're super stoked to have you guys.
So pumped.
Do you want to just say your names one? I know we did this last time, but just kind of do that one more time.
Michaela introduces me. Nathaniel introduces Michaela.
Kind of just good for the other person.
Basically, just saying everybody's names by telling you how we introduce. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No. So I'm Michaela.
Hi, Michaela. I'm Del.
Hi, Del.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And we already introduced ourselves.
Okay, so we're good.
All right. I think I'm oriented with who's who.
Oh yeah.
Perfect. So before we get into the heavy stuff, Del. Your last name is May, right?
All day.
So if you had 50 sons and named them all Del May, and one of them only had one leg, you would have 101 Dalmatians.
That is incredible.
I'm so glad you saved that.
I did not know where that was going.
I'm
going
to need you to write that down.
I thought of it the other day.
Yeah, I thought of it yesterday at some point, and I was like, yes, I did
it. That's really good.
I felt so accomplished.
Have you ever considered having that many children?
No. Still not considering it.
But I mean, the joke.
It's
right?
Worth joke?
It, yeah.
I mean, for the joke, it's probably worth it.
Right.
Yeah. Do it for the vine, right?
Yeah, you got to live up to it now.
Still alive.
Anyway, so should we just jump into the big stuff?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Well, I texted you guys, gave you a quick little synopsis of kind of what everything I'm talking about. But yeah, we're kind of just something I've been thinking about recently-ish is how we it's easy, I think, for people in general to kind of just fall into routine and become kind of apathetic and lazy within it, even if, you know, subconsciously. And so I guess you guys, we wanted to bring you guys on partially because of your band name, We the Least, which is about, you know, following God and making decreasing yourself so that he can increase and all that. But how do you do that without it being like self-humiliation? You know what I mean? Like, you can't purposefully make yourself less for the sake of that, but make yourself less, step back for the purpose of letting God step in, right? Yeah. So this is much more, it's not like this, let's figure out the doctrine of it all and like nail down the theology, but more like your personal experiences. What have you done? What have you found to be effective and efficient in, I don't know, humbling yourselves without being humiliated, if that makes sense?
I think something that comes to mind for me is like, just our performances, the pressure kind of is taken off when we have that mindset, because I think you guys will agree with me. Like, there's been so many performances where we're like, RIP, that was so bad, you know, like, or whatever, just like the way that we like chords or little things that maybe went wrong. And I feel like at the beginning, when we first started performing together, that would have maybe like really bothered us. But now, like, we kind of, at least for me, it's changed, because I feel like I go into it with, you know, God can still work. Like, it's about what he does and about, him changing our little tiny offering that we bring, you know, and touching people's hearts. And so there's been times where we've had a performance and it maybe didn't go super well, but somebody came up and was like, oh my gosh, like your song, like these words or like this thing that you said, you know? And so, it's not necessarily saying that like we're the least or we're like not good enough to do God's work, but like he works despite, you know, our weaknesses and the things that we can't, do perfectly, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's really, really good. I think another thing I think about too is something I heard recently is that God gets more glory when there are more people praying in like mindness about the same thing, because then when God comes through, all of those people were involved in it and not just one person. So sure. God gets more glory when Michaela, Del, Noah, and I are all praying about, Lord, help us to perform well, help somebody mm-hmm. to be reached, help somebody to get whatever they might need mm-hmm. out of this service. He gets a lot more glory when all of us are teaming up together, and then he comes through, and then we can all thank him on the other end of it. So I think that's a big thing too, is being like-minded, knowing that we can't do anything on right. our own right. at all. And so he gets the glory when anything good happens.
Right.
Yeah. I think about all the performances that we've done where, you know, we walk off the stage and we're like, man, that was really bad. That was really rough. That did not go how we rehearsed. We forgot to do this, forgot to do that.
The keyboard fell over.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah, that's happened. We almost got seriously injured in a rainstorm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
it. Pavilion almost fell on our faces. And
oh, wow.
It was a good time. Thanks, Louisville. but I think about those performances, and ironically enough, those are the performances that, you know, people come up to us after.
Mm.
And they're like, man, that I've never thought of such and such like this, or man, yeah. that song, so-and-so passed recently, that song really touched me, or things like that. And it's just, I think, reminding ourselves that we're the least important part about what we do. It's a good reminder to, like, strip away, you know, oh, I gotta get this right, gotta get that right, gotta right. look like this. Del, don't make weird faces when you sing. Still do it, don't care. It gets rid of all that pressure to look or sound or be a certain way, and it allows us to be genuine with who we are, whether yeah. it's silly, whether it's serious, whether it's something that God's taught us and shown us. It helps us focus in on that, because that's really what we want to come across.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, we've gotten this far not because of things that we could do on our own, but because God has had his hand on it from the very start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
It's good.
That's cool. We were just talking the other day to your sister about the culture today of just like perfection and, you know, everything, especially with, well, just we've noticed in artists and things like that of just that's the goal. But I don't think it is, you know,
right.
and you guys are kind of explaining like the reason that we're going up there to sing is to share the words that we wrote, and also to connect with people. That's the main reason. We're just doing it through music. And maybe that's different for different people.
Right.
And obviously I don't think it's bad to be like, we want to get this right. Sure. Or we want right. to, you know, do this cool little guitar thing or whatever. That's fun.
Yeah.
But that's not like the ultimate goal to show off.
Totally.
So.
Yeah.
And it's like you were just saying, like we were talking about with Hannah, we're so focused on like products, on like the end, you know, what's the final thing we're actually giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think why I definitely, when I see you guys play live, connect with it so much, is it's not we're presenting you a product, it's you guys are inviting us in to a process of just your life and your conversation and how you relate to each other, how you relate to the people in this room specifically. Because, you know, the last two house shows have been, I think, similar in certain ways, but also very different from each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, parts of it are very similar, and parts of it you guys have done very differently because there's been a different crowd in the room, because the atmosphere is slightly different, because you've related slightly differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can go through all the nitpicky, oh, well, in this living room, it was this setup, and the couch was set up this way, and you had Noah at this one, so he was doing that, so, you know, or whatever it is. But I think ultimately it's just like you guys were saying, is like you allowed yourself to be fully present at both and fully aware of the different people and fully aware that you were submitting to God and letting him lead you through it and let the consequence, you know, trusting in him and let the consequences be what they might be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said something, Del, about, you know, I think again, kind of relating back to your band name, we are the least important thing of what we're doing. I think that's an important thing with the nuance that, again, I don't think that that's, and I know you're not meaning it this way, but like, that's not an excuse to then, we're the least important. Therefore we can just be sloppy and not care about things. Right.
Absolutely. There's still like an excellence that needs to be like brought before the Lord. We were just talking about this just even in like worship leading and stuff. Like, sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
But like, you know, you do want to bring an excellence before the Lord because he does deserve the best. Right. Mm. And it can be distracting if you don't know chords or you don't know whatever. Yeah. But also like taking the pressure off that we are human. And if something does go wrong, the Lord still loves us. Right. So,
And I think we all would agree that we would rather play a really crappy concert, really crappy show, and meet some really awesome people and share, you know, a conversation with them, then play a really solid show and then walk out not saying hi to anybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think that's why God gave us music and art and creativity it's such an incredibly unique way to connect with people even before, you know, I know very little of the actual like events of your lives leading up to how you got to here, but you're presenting it through the specific lenses of specific songs you guys play. Mm-hmm. And that is like such a cool thing that I'm able to connect to this really specific part of your soul, that this really specific thing that God created you to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to recognize that through your creativity. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not the same thing as saying, you know, what line of work are you in? And even talking about creativity, you know, what kind of movies do you like? What kind of music do you like? Those are good conversations. Those are beneficial and all that. But there is something about relating to people through specifically what's the creative things that you're putting forward and how do those relate to each other and all that.
Yeah. Cool. And
kind of going back to what you were talking about with Michaela and all that about... you know, not using that as an excuse to be, you know, lousy and not hone in your craft. I guess the kind of thought that came to my head when you said that was like, you know, if God gave us like this Ferrari, this sports car, and we only drove it 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, that would be such a waste.
Right.
Be such a waste. And so, like, if God's given us gifts for certain things, whatever, why shouldn't we put the pedal to the metal on it? Why shouldn't we test its limits, push it?
Right.
So I think with what we're doing, we give ourselves a lot of grace, but also strive for excellence, not perfection, but excellence.
Right. And I think in our songs too, like, I think like Liv, you were saying, like, it's just, the best part is like connecting with people and just like really, like, I feel like with our songs, we try our hardest to like write authentically about what a season we're going through or like something that like personally connects with us. We're not like, let's just write this song that can be on the radio or whatever, you know, that's like never our thought process. Mm-hmm. And so that truly, like, having conversations with people after the concerts, that's what I like enjoy the most. Mm-hmm. Like a few weeks ago we had a concert and we did our song Visiting Hours for the first time. And this lady came up to me and she was just already crying. And then of course I'm crying and I'm like, what the heck? And she's like, oh my gosh, like my dad just passed away and blah, 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 whatever. And like just being, we were talking about it and it was just so touching. And I feel like that's what we enjoy is just, and I feel like because I always make the joke, we're not Beyonce, you know, we aren't going to be these like crazy voices, but it almost makes us more relatable because we're not perfect. And so we do want to be approachable with conversations like that to be able to connect with people. It's just like really special moments like that. Right. So
yeah, I agree. And this is a little bit off topic, but one thing that I get excited about too with like connecting with people is when we can look on our Spotify for artists and see the type of playlists that we're being added to. And the ones that I think are most complimentary is when we get added to like cool Christian or like Christian songs that won't be played on radio ever. Like, cause then it's like, okay, we're doing something different.
Right.
And which there's a need for that. Like people want something that's different. Right. That's actually like, I don't know, feeds your soul, I guess, in a different way than radio songs do. So that to me is really complimentary of what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's really unique about you guys that is not as quote unquote commercial to the typical like music industry is that you're kind of, there's three frontmen to your band, right? Mm-hmm. And that you all are like, you have unique things to say. And so it makes sense for, rather than just, you know, even the bands that do all co-write together, but only have one lead singer. Yeah. I think, you know, obviously this can still be great. And there's still plenty of amazing bands that have one frontman who leads it or whatever. But there's something really cool to see. Well, like you were, this kind of goes along with what you were saying just now about kind of writing about your experiences and the seasons you're going through. Part of, I think, for me, what God has revealed to me in like my specific seasons has been things that are also always true, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like in this specific moment it's being revealed, but that doesn't mean it's going to be untrue later on. So it's, you know, Made You Too will always be a relevant song. Yeah. Spoons and Night Sky will always be relevant songs because those were things that were revealed to you in a specific season, but continue to be carried forth beyond it. Right. Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think that's also what people connect to. I think that's, you know, one of my favorite bands is the Avett Brothers, and they put out an album in 2019, which was like a kind of a social political commentary on the state of America and everything, which obviously has controversial opinions about it. But I think aside from, I wasn't a huge fan of the album. And I think aside from me disagreeing with some of their opinions and views on things, it was primarily just, I loved them for so long because what they wrote about were things that were always true. And I just think like, this is going to be obsolete in a few years because like culture changes so fast and God doesn't. And God's relationship with us doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
Our awareness of it will change and our perception of it may change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they, you know, they have a song called No Hard Feelings, which is about, what's the first line? When my body won't hold me anymore and my soul finally sets me free, where will I go? And it's about, you know, kind of when I die, right? What's that going to be like? And, what's that look like? And I think that's just an ever prevalent song to me. Whereas, you know, they have a song about their opinion on gun laws. And I think like, well, again, whether I agree with it or not, I don't feel like it's a very well written song and I don't feel like it's going to be relevant in a few years.
Yeah.
It was a little side tangent.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
Someone else said something that triggered something. Well, is it okay if we just like delve in a little bit into a couple of your songs specifically about like how... Michaela, you talked about how like Made You Too was co-written by God.
Yeah.
You kind of like blanked out for part of it and then the song was finished.
Yeah.
As like as much in depth as you want to go, kind of what was surrounding that and what was it like a conscious decision going into that when you finally finished writing it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a conscious decision of like I'm submitting this over to God and letting him finish it? Or was it more of a kind of he just took over for you?
Yeah, I definitely remember like praying about it. And I, in that season, and I've tried to start doing it more as well. Like it seems so cliche, but like actually praying and being like, okay, God, like control the direction of where this song is going. Like, you know, say what you want to say through these words. And so during Made You Too, that was a season where I was very aware of that. Consistently, I feel like when I would go to, sit down and write it, I was like, okay, God, like it's not there yet. I'm not like 100% with it yet, but, and it was truly like, you can ask the guys, I'm very much a perfectionist. I never am like, okay, this song is good. Like I never, like, I feel like I'm always like, it's not done. It's not good. And we've recorded numerous of my songs that I never like felt like were done, but Made You Too. And I guess I didn't even really connect this until you just asked about it, but I really did spend a lot of time in prayer, like praying even before, working on it. And when I finished it, I knew I was like, this is it. Like, this is the chorus that I've been like waiting for. And I like, when I finished it, I couldn't even like finish it. I was literally just like crying. Cause I just like, it just like moved me so much. And I was like, what just happened? Cause it was done. So yeah, spending time in prayer. I mean, prayers, we always knew, you know, it's important, but, with songwriting, I think it is as well.
Mm-hmm. And just going on a little bit further, why are we taking it so seriously, I guess? Not to like discount it, but why were you taking writing that song? Why was that so important to you?
Yeah,
you
know? Because I would say that, and that we have another song that I wrote a few years ago called Good Enough, and just like my self-worth and my identity in God. You know, like I grew up in church, I grew up with a good Christian parents, but I think a really deep struggle that I had for a long time was like, okay, I know my identity is in God and I know I'm supposed to find my value in who he says I am. But like, what does that mean? Like, I don't think I'm beautiful. I don't think I'm special. I don't think I'm significant. And so just like never feeling that. And then through this song, it honestly was healing for me. So it was very personal, very, very personal. Yeah. And like, it really was like, you know, personal time with God that I spent writing it in. It was honestly more for me than for other people, you know, in writing it. God really gave it to me so that I could hear it. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That leads us me to be thinking of a different, we've talked a bit about like, you know, the songs for me and the songs for others type thing. And the mm-hmm. kind of, I have this kind of intellectual debate between those where it's kind of, it can come off as pretentious and selfish if it's totally. Like, oh, this is for me or
totally.
You're just writing for the
right.
Matches.
You're just, you're it's too yeah. right. commercial or whatever to be like, mm-hmm. oh, this is whatever, this is right. what's popular or whatever. But there is something about, we'll move on from AG2 in a minute. But
that's okay.
I don't know. I don't want to like get you too hot-headed, but
no, you're good.
It's
you're
very
good.
Similar to, I think a lot of like C.S. Lewis's writing is very, here are the experiences I had. Here's what I learned. Here's mm-hmm. what God revealed to me and then shares that with people. And mm-hmm. like, if that's helpful, great. Which I mean, it has been helpful to a lot of people. And yeah. I think Made You Two is maybe not quite in the same tier. No, but it's very good. And I think like, again, yeah, it is kind of an ever true thought, an ever true totally. Statement mm-hmm. of like, you know, you look in and you marvel at the wonder of the world and how mm-hmm. beautiful that is and God's creation there. And you can look in judgment and disdain at the people around you or yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's also a creation of his. Yeah. That's even more in his image than anything around us. Right.
Yeah.
And it's cool, 'cause we could say those words, the same words that you wrote, just say them to someone and it could, you know, hold a certain right. effect or whatever, but to be sung to or like mm-hmm. have it yeah. in a song, it's just interesting how it can like move you differently. I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. Yeah. So. And I think like when I had seen the quote on Instagram, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this would be a cool song. I guess mm-hmm. I wasn't like thinking anything in particular. And then it took me a few years, and I don't think I necessarily realized that God was going to use it like to touch me with the words as well. I guess mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I wasn't writing it thinking like, yeah, this is what I need to hear or right. whatever. But it just kind of turned into something that was like, okay, this is kind of like a little piece of like something I've struggled with my whole right. life, you know? And then it kind of turned into like, oh my gosh, I really like needed to hear this too. Like God was in this. So
mm-hmm.
yeah,
that's really cool.
So I'm shifting gears a little bit. Again, I'm a little bit more of a generic question, but still I think like specific to you guys, not necessarily trying to nail down the definitive template for it, but you guys are so, you know, I don't know you super, super well, but like the little bit I've known you, the little I've seen you guys actually work and act out God's will. It seems like you care deeply about it. You care deeply about being obedient to God mm-hmm. and listening to him and following him. Mm-hmm. How do you do that and simultaneously fully embrace and understand the unique people that he's created you to be? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's a good question.
Thanks. We've turned you're tables.
At,
yeah.
You're good at coming up with questions.
Last time I was good at complimenting today. Yeah. Asking good questions.
The deep questions.
I mean, I think it kind of goes back to the uniqueness of having three people kind of lead mm. and write. Because I think all three of us have very different testimonies, very different
right.
ways that we've encountered God, that God's moved through us. And I guess like a song that Nathaniel, if Nathaniel wrote a song and I sang it, I feel like it wouldn't mean as much to me,
mm.
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's his story. Mm, if Michaela wrote a song and Nathaniel sang it, you know, it's Michaela's story. And
right.
but if we're able to be authentic and share your own stories, I think, I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not sure where I'm necessarily going with that, but
that's fine.
I mean, I think the fact that we're all three kind of writing and sharing our own stories, I think that has helps us be, I don't know, authentic with where God, what God's teaching us. And
right.
I don't know. I'm not sure where I was trying to go with that.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we're not just like cranking out songs just to like produce something. Yeah. Like we're trying to right. be genuine with it. And so yeah. if I write a song, it's like, just makes, it just would come across different if maybe one of you guys yeah. sang it. Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, that would sound pretty silly singing Made You Two. Just not my
you do it all the time. You do it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No,
did we
true.
Answer your question?
No. Yeah. I mean, I think.
Okay.
answer. I mean, I think this is one of those things where it's like, listen, go a thousand different directions. I think as many as we want to go. Yeah.
It's a hard one to answer.
Yes, I know. It's not necessarily something, but I mean, again, like you just said, there's three different of you who are like writing and presenting it and all that. So, and I think that's something that's really unique. When we first met you guys and first started listening to your music, that I thought was really cool that it is like a lot of different, just in terms of like sound and genre and all that, it goes a lot of different directions over the course of an album. And there's three different voices and different perspectives and all that, but still feels cohesive and connected. And, you know, we can get into like the, was there intentional like musical decisions of like, oh, here's something, as long as we always have this, whatever it is, these specific chord structures, then we can keep them consistent or whatever. But I think there is something, because you guys are so connected with each other, I don't know if there's, if that's something you guys want to talk about, like how is it that, I mean, you know, Nathaniel and Michaela, you guys are brothers and sisters. So that's one level of connection that's kind of inescapable. Right.
Totally.
But how does that play a part in, how do I phrase this? Like I said earlier, why I like seeing you guys perform is it's inviting us into this process, and it's informal while still being, purposeful. You know what I mean? Is there a correlation between that and your unique relationships with each other? Does that make sense?
I think so. I think, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say something that we were intentional with in Illinois. And I think even now, was not just hanging out as a band, like not just like, okay, we're going to get together and rehearse. Cause there was a season where we were only seeing each other when we were, because we were in three different jobs and just so much going on. And we were really like
frustrated and angry with each other.
Yeah, we would. Well, we would, because we were always rehearsing. We were always rushing, cause we just didn't have a lot of time. And I think even since moving here too, we've had more time to do things, but we're very intentional about like, okay, let's go do this fun activity. Let's actually like spend time together,
right,
as more than just bandmates, so that we can, you know, have that bonding time or whatever. And I think we're all like very supportive of each other. Like if somebody brings a song forward, I always love bringing a song to them, because Del will be like, oh, let's add this timpani thing. And I'm like, what's a timpani? Like, I don't know anything about like drums. And then Nathaniel will be like, well, what if you change this one like melodic line or whatever? And so we're just all kind of like on board with like supporting each other and like a team, like not just, you know, one person taking over, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that would come through too during performances if we weren't friends.
Yeah,
I think it would be pretty obvious to the audience of like, all right, we all think we're pretty incredibly like we're pretty incredible.
My turn to lead.
Yeah.
It's my turn to lead.
Yeah. Exactly. Like very individualistic. Like we're just doing our job here. We hope that people like us, not the whole band as a whole after the show, like whatever. I think that would definitely come through if we weren't genuine friends.
Yeah.
Kind of the way that I see it too is like, very, very simplified. You know, Nathaniel writes a song, Michaela writes a song. It's like, ooh, I really like what God showed you in that season. I support that. I want people to hear that. How can I come up next to you to help you get that message across? And I think we all kind of entangle each other in each other's songs that way.
Yeah,
we've walked with each other in those seasons.
Yeah. Because it's not just like, whoa, I didn't know you were going through that. I didn't realize you were experiencing that. It's like, wow. You know, I remember when you first started this journey, learning about this. This is where you ended up. That's awesome.
The different drafts and versions of each song. Or like you've introed Night Sky before at concerts because you were with him when he like first realized that. You know, like we just like know each other so well in the stories, which is really, really cool.
I kind of just realized, I don't want to like have a revelation on your behalf, but this is just something me realizing. One thing that you said, Nathaniel, about like, you're not doing it begrudgingly or anything like that. And I think going back to like, if it's a band and one front man, they can get away with it a bit easier because it's kind of assumed it's just this one guy. But especially if like, if you're trading off and it's much more communal, it has to be more genuine, right? I think you can pick up sincerity very easily when it's that type of dynamic that you guys are presenting. But you could easily, well, I don't know about easily, you could pursue three separate solo careers, right? But I think there's something just from a, from every perspective, from an artistic perspective, from a personal perspective, from a Christian perspective, that longs for collaboration and community and like support and all that, right?
Absolutely.
But then, yeah, especially not just, Michaela, you wrote a song and then secretly in the studio, you know, Del and Nathaniel are helping you out with it and then you release it on your own, but like you were saying about coming up beside her and being like, how can I support this and how can I help carry this as well? Yeah. There's a definite sense of, I don't know, I guess community, that's the word that Liv and I use all the time. It's a pretty common word. People have heard it before.
Never heard of it.
You know,
can you say it in a sentence?
every song Liv and I have wrote practically is about it. But I think that's something that's very, again, just recognizable, sincerity. And you guys, like, and like you were saying earlier about, you want to play a show in order to connect with people, in order to hear their stories, right? Mm-hmm. In order to understand more about the people that God told you to interact with, right?
Yeah.
And that comes across really well. And I think that's, again, a really powerful thing about music and about creativity and about storytelling is it gives you this really intricate and intimate lens into the specific event in life, you know? Mm. And anyway, yeah, I just think it's really, so really true. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say on that topic?
Kind of related to that. This was something I was thinking about with just how we collaborate and the different unique style that we each bring. It's been kind of interesting to see themes that we've all come back to in our each, like our individual songs. So like Michaela, she wrote Good Enough like 2 or 3 years ago, which was about like self-image and, and then also wrote Made You Too, which is also kind of in the self-image realm of just really like driving that home of like in Christ you are totally beautiful and and then Del, he wrote From Where You Are, which is about like, God, I don't know where you are, but I know that you're close to me, I just can't feel that right now, that kind of thing. And then he wrote C, which is like also the same thing, like I don't see what you're doing, God, but I know you're doing something and I want to see what you're doing. So it's like the same theme kind of.
Yeah.
And then Spoons, I know something's coming. I know you are doing something.
I know something's coming. I just, not right now, but there's joy coming later, that kind
of
thing.
And then One Dance, which is, or wait.
We don't talk about. Married, sorry, Rachel.
Dessert has already came. No.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, so, I mean, it was, those themes have been coming back. And then with mine, with Better Than My Life, it's kind of like, Jesus is better than everything is kind of the theme of that. And then same with American Dream. Like everything in this life, in this American life, is just disappointing compared to Christ. So like we kind of all come back to the same
similar themes
in a way.
Yeah.
Which to me kind of proves like that we really care about what we're going through or learning. And then it's like it's coming through again and again and again. Like we really want this to come across because it's something that God has made known to us very specifically. Yeah. So,
and I think it exemplifies a lot of things. That, well, one is, there are a lot of great songwriters that have things that they keep coming back to, right? And it doesn't feel like a rehashing. Like, I guess I'll just write another song about that because that was a hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know, it's like God put something very specific on you. Want Nathaniel, you want to explain to people that my perception of my understanding of my current situation, like you just said, isn't even worth comparing to what I get with Christ, right? That's like such a important and powerful thing to you that you want to communicate that and share that. And again, I think the way that you're able to share all three of those things together and trade off and continue to support each other, it just keeps magnifying itself. And that is, I don't know, to get on a little bit of the Open Entertainment soapbox about like community and God didn't call us to live in a vacuum, right? He didn't say, as long as you read these certain passages and sing these certain songs and these certain prayers or whatever at all, then you're fine. Those things are important, but riddled all throughout scripture is go out to others, reach out to others, help others, minister to others, serve others, right? Over and over and over and over in so many different styles and formats. I don't know. I just see like, you know, people are like, I just don't know where to serve in the church or whatever. And it's like, there are so many ways that God has given you. And that's something that like, I was talking to Liv's mom a little while back about God over and over and over all throughout scripture. And even like up until now, throughout our lives, keeps giving brand new opportunities, brand new avenues of knowing him and salvation and yeah. and understanding him, you know?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, that is really good. We all need someone to talk to.
Thank you.
We sing that all the time. I'm so excited to see you guys perform again.
Yeah, yeah. We're super stoked. Real quick, rapid fire before we go, if that's okay with you guys. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to talk really fast. No. This was a question I was going to ask last time, but like off the top of your head, if you don't have to go too in depth if you don't want to, was there a specific, and this can be a collective or individual album or answer, questions about albums. Just giving you a quick little Easter egg. Was there like a specific moment in your life where you were like, yes, this is what I'm called to do? Where you were like, where's music? You know, was there a specific album that made you go, I want to do something like that, or a concert or a movie or a book or something like that?
I would like play. I wouldn't say there's like a certain like movie or album, but I just like loved playing the piano when it wasn't with piano lessons. Like I loved sitting there playing what I wanted to play. And like, mm-hmm. I just remember like coming up with cool riffs and I would sit there. That was back in my, I listened to your podcast with Ray and he was talking about like back when he used to do it for like Applause or whatever.
Right.
And I definitely like went through that stage where I would like play and just like imagine myself, you know, like in front of a crowd or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just like loved doing it. And then I feel like the more that we got involved with the church, it became more of like a mission. Like I want everybody to hear, you know, the good news, and it's cool that we can do it through music. So, since I was younger though, I've always wanted to do it. I don't know if there was a specific moment, but
yeah. Yeah. I'm going to word it this way, but back then I did not think about it the way that I'm about to say it. But in order to explain it, I'm just going to put it this way. But so I've heard this quote, and it's basically, do the thing that makes you forget to poop and eat. Have you ever heard that?
No.
So like, do the thing that you get so wrapped up in it that like you miss a meal, or like you had to go to the bathroom for 3 hours, but you're not even thinking about it because you're so focused on this
you're
thing.
You're sweating.
So like, that's when I realized that I love songwriting so much, is when I get an idea and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to write this right now. And then I'm so focused on that and wrapped up in that like, all of a sudden it's 3:30 and I'm like, I haven't eaten lunch right now. Right. Like, what the heck? I need to go get food. But that's kind of how I figured out that it was one of my favorite things to do in the world, is everything else just is totally blocked out when I have a song idea and just need to get it down and hash it out. So.
And Del knew from the moment he wrote Zebediah.
Good, nice. That's a reference to the last podcast. Yeah. Yes, Malachi, my first song ever wrote. Everybody's favorite Bible character.
Yeah, we all go through a Malachi phase. You know?
Malachi. Good old Mal. No, I would say for me, it's like I always had, and I think Nathaniel can relate to this, we've talked about this a few times, like our minds always go. Mm-hmm. And I think... Mm-hmm. Even you probably, like, we play off
of
each other.
Even me. even your mind might work.
Of all people. Right. No, but like, I mean, every time we see each other, you know, Aiden, even every time Nathaniel and I see each other, like, we're always just like throwing jokes at each other, playing with words, like, oh, this is hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, you Del May joke. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like, you know, my mind's always running, and music and writing down and getting that on paper and just getting it out of my head has been like such an amazing like relief in a lot of ways. And, you know, you put it to music and people like to listen to it. That's super cool.
Right.
And it's really cool that people are, taking something that's been buzzing in my head.
Right.
And they're like, wow, that really meant something to me. And it's like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was just a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I guess it's not really a specific moment, but that's kind of what I go back to. If like there's thoughts and ideas in my head that, you know, if I don't get them on paper, somebody might not hear it when they need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of motivation to get the pen to paper, get going. But
I think I've had kind of that realization is both like the creator and a listener of like, you know, you've probably written a song and gone, like you just said, you know, I wrote Made You Two for me or whatever, mm-hmm. but then realize, I don't know if you ever had a moment of doubt of like, oh, I don't know if this is going to touch people anyway, but then you sing it and people are connected to it and they mm-hmm. talk to you about that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a good feeling. It makes you feel like, okay, good. I'm not alone, right?
Yeah,
like this is
yeah.
like, this is experience that I want to share with people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I would imagine you probably have heard a song and gone, oh, yes. You know, you've had yeah. those moments
like,
of,
did I write this?
Yeah. And you're yeah. like, that's exactly what I was trying to figure out how to say.
Yes.
And that's, you know, yep. that's why I love C.S. Lewis, because I feel like every time I read something new of his, I go like, oh, thank you. That was, mm-hmm. I've been trying to figure out how to exactly articulate it and yeah. figure out how to like structure it. And you just perfectly laid it out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And I just realized mm-hmm. just now that like you have that on both sides
yeah.
as the listener and the creator of
yeah.
it, which I think is really cool.
One time yeah. at our college, we had like a guest speaker come in. And it was like a worship class. And maybe we were songwriting too. I don't remember. But he said, as songwriters, we have the responsibility of putting words in other people's mouths. Mm. And that like struck me. I was like, oh my gosh, like the things that we're writing, like other people like will be singing and relating
right.
to. And like, and just like you said,
yeah.
thinking like, oh my gosh, I couldn't say that.
Right.
Like I've mm-hmm. like wanted to say that, but I couldn't figure out a way how. And so mm-hmm. like songwriting does that. So that
right.
quote like always stuck with me.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well done. Congratulations, all. We did it. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show again, guys.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
For having
yes.
us.
Yes. Yes. We're super excited for next week.
Yes.
We'll get to play with you guys.
Everybody
a
come.
A ton of fun. Yes. Please come, y'all.
All our Minnesota listeners.
All our Minnesota listeners.
Yes.
Fly on
shout
out.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys for being who you are.
You too.
You guys too.
You too. We no. appreciate you guys.
Yeah, that's really why I said that.
You just wanted,
I wanted you guys to say it back.
Wait, can we do like sometime, can we do a podcast where we like hijack your podcast and ask you guys questions?
Yes. I feel like that's accidentally happened a couple times. And
with
all
other
of this,
people.
Yeah, when we had Harmon on and she kept asking us questions. And we were like, we want to know you. But I felt bad because we told the story anyway. But yeah,
yeah.
we could do that.
Yeah,
at
we
some
should
point.
Do that.
I think
sure.
that'd be
we
so,
that.
Like, we could, like, do the intro and everything.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, I could be like, I'm Olivia O'Neill. But that'd be fun.
Yeah,
that'd
be
really cool.
Rock on. Well, folks, we'll see you next week for a brand new episode of Between Takes.